Greetings, it's Oliver Wang from Soul Sides and the brand new Heat Rocks podcast, which I'm hoping all of you are listening to. But this is a single serving. And if Heat Rocks is all about the album, then as the name suggests, single servings are all about a single song, usually released as an actual single. And to kick things off, I'm really happy to be talking about one of my favorite songs from the 1960s, and that would be the Devons with their 1969 single on King Records, Someone to Treat Me. I've had this single for about 5 years, and I've tried to think over that time what exactly is happening in the song that just gets me every time. And certainly part of it is how the piano and the rhythm section push you along with this gentle insistency. But of course, I think it also comes back to the voices, where you have this lead singer, just glorious, glorious voice, her backup singers, and they somehow make a song that's about a wayward lover sound really joyous. I always knew I wanted to kick off this series with the Devons single, but until I had started putting this together, I didn't know enough about the group. And thanks to the magic of the internet, I managed to track down the lead singer, Jimmy Boone Amos, and she was gracious enough to break down the story behind this single for me. Back then, she was known as Jimmy Ruth Harris, and she had two friends, both named Deborah Hill and Deborah Johnson. And one day, when they were sitting on the stoop, well, I'll let her tell the story.
We were singing a song by Linda Jones, and she had a song out called What Have I Done? And I was singing that, and we were about to do the chorus, and it was in harmony, and that's when he stopped us.
The he that Jimmy is referring to is Eddie Gray, the singer and producer of Someone to Treat Me. And I, for the longest time, because this is what it said online, I thought it was the same Eddie Gray who wrote Crystal Blue Persuasion, but as it turns out, Jimmy set the record straight. Same name, two completely different guys. So this is not the same Eddie Gray behind Crystal Blue Persuasion, different Eddie Gray. In any case, he stopped, listened to them sing, and then...
And he said, you know, you young ladies sing pretty good. I would really like you to record a song I wrote. And that's how it started.
Back then, the girls were 14 and 15, but they were given the offer to record a single, so they went off to Jamaica, Queens, where Eddie had a home studio, and that is where they put together Someone to Treat Me.
And we all went out there, and we heard the song. And the next thing you know, we were practicing and practicing. So the summer of 68 is when we recorded it.
They still needed a name for their group. And besides being lead singer, Jimmy also came up with the name The Devons.
I just liked it. I said, oh, we could be The Devons. I don't know why I like that name. And they said, okay.
When it came time to find a label for this new song, Eddie Gray had the hookup.
James Brown had an office in New York, it's 1650 Broadway. Eddie's fiance was James Brown's secretary. She took the record to him, and that's how it got recorded, because he heard it, he liked it, and he believed in it. So he said, I'll put it out.
A small but important note is that even though Eddie Gray produced the song, James Brown takes the production credit, at least on the label. If you look at the label, it says a James Brown production. It's stamped on both sides. That might have been true in terms of the B-side cut, which James Brown co-wrote. But Someone to Treat Me is definitely Eddie Gray's songwriting, his arrangement, his production. He just didn't get credit for it. And if you know anything about James Brown in that era, this is not a huge surprise. Regardless, when the song comes out in the spring of 1969, Jimmy has a great front row seat to see what happens when that song enters into the world.
When I came home from school, because I believe I was in the 11th grade or 10th grade or something like that, I came in because the way they used to do it, it was a radio station called WWRL. And every Wednesday, It was the Soul 16 survey of new songs. I turned on the radio when I came in from high school and heard, here's the latest hit from James Brown Productions, and it was me. I was floored. My mother and my aunt had a business, and my whole family worked there. When I heard myself, I immediately got on the phone and called my mom. And all I could hear was them screaming in the background, oh, wow, oh, what? Everybody was ecstatic. And you can't imagine when I'd walk into a party and they were playing my song.
Once Someone to Treat Me started getting radio play in New York, the girls began getting offers to perform around town.
If you've ever heard of somebody named Hal Jackson, he used to do shows at Palisades, and he would have the artists on the radio with him. We did that. We did, back in the day, they used to do like a lot of parties and have trucks on the streets, and people would sing. We'd sing in clubs. We'd sing at the different area parks and whatnot. We did a lot.
The Devons end up recording two more songs with Eddie Gray, Groovin' With My Thing, backed with Wise Up and Be Smart, and these were released on the local New York label, Mr. G.
And when those came out, it was almost time for me to graduate, and I wanted to go to college because I went to the Manhattan School of Music, and I just kind of leaned away from doing it, and we just dissolved the group.
In the end, neither of the Devons singles became big enough hits to justify or convince the group to stay together. And like many countless other groups before and after them, they dissolved and more or less disappeared. But Someone to Treat Me has had a very healthy afterlife. It became an underground hit in the Northern Soul scene in the UK. And as Jimmy herself learned, it was thanks to the song ending up on YouTube that led her back to her old bandmates.
My husband and I were sitting having dinner, and I was trying to find the name to a song, and he said, well, you know, YouTube has everything. I said, yeah, I bet it doesn't have the song that I did when I was 14. So he looked it up. He said, yes, it's on here. And I still couldn't believe it, so I asked him to play it. And when I hit it and looked at how many different people put it on and the things that they were saying, I tried to answer each one and tell them, thank you, because you brought back so many wonderful memories for me. And at that time, I didn't know where the two Deborahs were. And just recently this year, we found each other after 47 years.
So there you have it, the story behind the Devons, Someone to Treat Me. I cannot thank Jimmy enough for her time, for sharing her memories, for having an incredible voice, and just being such a sweet, sweet person. I'm so happy I was able to talk to her and share that interview with you for this piece, because originally I was just going to talk about it and provide some basic, whatever I found online, discographic, biographical information, but instead I get it directly from the source herself. And that was fantastic. And with that, one last time, here are the Devons with their 1969 single on King Records, Someone to Treat Me.
Yeah.
This episode was produced by James Brown. No. It was produced by me. And you can find more information about Single Servings and the other podcasts that I self-produce on my website, soul-sides.com. But please, please do check out the brand new podcast that myself and Morgan Rhodes have worked on for the Maximum Fun Network. It is called Heat Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to talk about a special album to them. It is really fun. We have about 3 months worth of episodes already banked, and we're going to be rolling them out week by week, beginning in October. And you can find more information about that show on heatrockspod.com, or look for it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. I will be back at some point in the future with another serving of Single Servings.